the City View Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy today's message.
My wife and I went on a little day date. If you haven't done like day dates, it was so much fun. We went and hiked the Devil's Bridge. We didn't run into the devil. That was nice. He took the day off. So just kidding. But we hiked Devil's Bridge. It was such a cool hike. If you've never done it, it's a pretty easy hike. It was just fun. A little scary when you go on the bridge area. And there are moments where you are hiking and you're like, did we miss it? Did we turn the right trail? Just keep going. You'll get there. And it was just a fun little day. And we ate at this place called Grasshopper Grill and Spirits or something, like Hole in the Wall in Cornville. And I've never driven through Cornville before. I'd heard of Cornville. It's not like Whoville. But it was... That wasn't funny. That felt hard. Man, that wasn't good. That wasn't a good... Thank you, Brittany. But it was a fun little... I ate this hamburger there. It's called the Gunslinger. And it was hot. Like, I like hot food. And it was insane. It was way too hot. I was sweating here. And, like, here, it was hot. Have you ever sweat here on your chin? Anybody? Or am I the only one? Some of you? Thank you. I didn't know if I just had a problem. I need to get it checked out. But it was just a fun day for my wife and I. But so this weekend is Veterans Day weekend. And if you are a veteran, would you please stand? We'd like to thank you for your service. Do we have any vets in this service? So thank you for your service. We appreciate your service. So thank you. Thank you so much. So we're continuing our series called Conversations. This has been something that's been on my heart for a while as reading through the Bible and seeing different times. And so many times we expect to hear from Jesus in a big room like this. We're like, okay, God, what do you have for me? What do you have for me? And there were moments where Jesus did that in the Bible, where there was a big crowd and it was almost like a conference or a church type setting. But so many times when you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, these guys who wrote these letters of the experiences they had with Jesus, they write about these one-on-one small group conversations Jesus had with people. We find out that more was said in small settings than said in these great grand ones. And so as I was looking at those, I saw so many amazing things where Jesus took time to speak to people one-on-one, and he wants to do that still today. Have you ever felt like you were just sort of lost and wandering in life? Not knowing where to turn or what to do next, it's so easy to get to that place in life where we just sort of are on cruise control. We just sort of are going. And maybe we're just trying to figure out, God, what is it that you want? I remember when I was, in college age, and I was like, God, when am I going to get married? That was such a huge thing for me. And I was young. If you ask any of my friends that knew me growing up, like in high school and even right before, they'll say, Jeremiah's been wanting to get married, I think, as soon as he found out you could get married. That was just what I wanted. I don't know why. It wasn't that I wanted to have kids right away, because maybe it was everything else that brought that part. But either way, I just remember, God, when? God, when? And then when God doesn't answer as you want, you sort of get frustrated. Maybe you're wondering, maybe you've been married for a while and you're wondering, God, when are we going to actually have kids? God, when? Or I remember when I felt this call to be in ministry, to doing what I'm doing here. And God put this in my heart in 1997, January of 1997. And I was like, okay, God, when? When is it going to happen? When am I going to get that opportunity? When? It was years and years and years later. I didn't get to actually be a part of what God put in my heart in 97 until 2015. And there are these times where we just wonder and we think, God, okay, when and what are you doing? And how many times have we ever been that place where we're just looking at God going, okay, God, what are you doing now? And then we wander this path of life and we really wonder, God, what are you doing? God, have you left me alone? And I think we all have felt this way at some point where we're wandering and wondering, God, where are you? This is not how I thought my life was going to go, God. This is not what I thought you were going to do. And then we start heading down a path that is comfortable. We start heading down a path where, okay, I know how this works. Okay, I'll just do this. And then we can just sort of pick this path where it's comfortable and we think because things are falling into place that it's God's will that we're doing it. But sometimes things fall into place just because they fall into place has nothing to do with God's will. We've gotten distracted off of what was put on our hearts and we just do because something is easy. And I wonder how many times we do that and we just start traveling this path. And it's not the road that God wanted, but I think what is so cool, what's so cool about God is there's not a road God won't take to get to you. There's not a path God won't travel. There's not a question he won't ask. And there's not a conversation he's not willing to have to get to your heart. We may be on a journey and we have no clue where it's going, but that journey, God's willing to join you on. So this morning, we're going to be looking at these two men that are on a journey, and they think God left them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I don't know where each of us are. I don't know what part of the journey. I don't know if we've gotten on a detour or if we're on a wrong trail altogether. Maybe we're just discouraged on the one we know we're going the right way, but we just cannot see the next step. So, Lord, I pray no matter where we are, God, that this morning we might hear your voice. Lord, may your people who are at churches all over the valley, may they hear your voice today. Receive from you and know, Lord, that you are real. God, I pray that you'd speak through the different pastors, whether it's at CCV or Cross Church or Gateway, Calvary Community. Wherever people are, Lord, I pray that you'd meet, join them on their journey. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're joining us online, I'd like to say welcome. Good morning to you as well. And if you guys would turn with me to Luke chapter 24. If you brought a Bible, turn to Luke 24. If you don't, we're going to have it up here on the screens for you. And if you don't want to look there, you could go onto your phone, YouVersion Bible app, right on your phone, super easy. You can follow along with all the passages that I will be reading from today. Luke 24, we're picking up right in the middle of these guys' journey. They're just starting to take this walk. And it says in verse 13 of chapter 24, the same day, we're going to get to what's going on the same day, the history, what's happening there. It says, the same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. And he asked them, what are you discussing so intently? And you walk as you walk along, they stopped short and sadness written across their face. So here's what we got. We've got these two men, these two friends who had just left Jerusalem. They were followers of Jesus. They followed Jesus. They saw him do so many amazing things. And they're on this walk and they're discouraged because Jesus had just died. He had just died on the cross. They had gone to Jerusalem to be with Jesus, to celebrate the feast, to see all the different cool things that of what people are doing there. And as they were there, they're expecting to see Jesus do some amazing things, but he died. And so they start walking home. They were there to see what Jesus would do next, and what next they saw was his death, not him becoming king. And they were sharing with one another their frustrations. They were mad at Jesus. They were hurt by Jesus. They felt like Jesus left them. They were discouraged. They had been serving their life. And we don't know how many years. We don't know if they had been with Jesus from the beginning for maybe 3 years. We don't know if they've maybe been serving alongside Jesus for 2 years. We don't know what length, but we know they were followers of Jesus. And at some point in this journey, at some point in this walk with Jesus, they got discouraged, they got tired, and they're ready to give up because Jesus didn't do what they thought he was supposed to do. And how many of us have ever been that where we're sort of hurt, we're lost, we're discouraged, we're on this journey, maybe we've been serving for a while and we've gotten our eyes fixed on ourselves and off of Jesus. And so we're just tired in serving, we're tired in living, we're tired in doing, and then we go back to what is comfortable. It's in that moment of being tired, tired serving, tired living, tired doing. It's in this moment of being hurt and frustrated that Jesus joins them on their journey. It's in that moment. It's not at their best day. It's on their worst day. It's on the day they're giving up on God. Because that's what's happening in this moment. They've given up on Jesus. It's in that moment that Jesus met them. It wasn't when they were like trying to make sure he was going to live. It wasn't in the moment where they're like passing out the bread and fish. We don't know if it was one, they were one of those guys. We don't know, but we know that it was in this moment where they said, you know what? Jesus is dead. It says in that moment where sadness was written across their face. Have you ever had that moment? You know those times where you are so, for me, my emotions sit right here. For the most part, you're going to be able to read Jeremiah. If he's in a good mood, you're going to be able to look at his face and go, hey, you're doing pretty good. If you know, you'll know when I'm frustrated because it'll be written right here. You'll know when I'm sad because it'll be written right here. People are like, hey, are you okay? I'm okay. He's like, no, you're not. Because it's written right here. These men, what's written on their face, it says sadness was written on their face. And what I love about this is that Jesus shows up in their conversation and he's paying attention. Jesus is paying attention to you as well. He listens in on us, and Jesus is looking for those opportunities that he might intervene in our conversations and intervene in our life. He sees our hurt, and he knows our pain. Jesus is willing to walk with you at your pace on this journey. Did you notice that he could have, how easily, they're frustrated with God, they're frustrated with Jesus, that Jesus died. What could Jesus have done to make it so much easier if he was in a hurry? He could have said, hey guys, I'm here, I'm Jesus, I didn't die, I rose again, I'm alive, just want to give you that hope. Now go ahead, go back to Jerusalem, don't waste your time going 7 miles, go this way, everything's okay, we're good now. Poof, be gone. He could have done that. That would have been the easy route. But you see, the cool thing about Jesus, he's okay with your pace on the journey. He's okay with your pace on the journey. He's not in a hurry. He's willing to walk it. You notice that? As we get through this, we're going to see that Jesus walks the entire 7 miles with them. How many of us have been in a hurry and we just want to get things done? Jesus isn't like that. He was patient with these two men that were so mad. There's no road that Jesus is not willing to travel to meet with you. And I love this next part. So Jesus asked them this question. Then this guy, Cleopas, verse 18 says, then one of them, Cleopas, replies, you must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days. You got to understand sort of, so you got Cleopas, however you say the guy's name, and his buddy. Okay, they're walking. Jesus, all of a sudden, poof, he's like super sneaky guy from Mr. Deeds, you know? He appears really quick. He's like, hey, Jesus, like, he goes, I'm very, very sneaky. You know, that kind of thing. That's what's going on. Jesus is there like, whoa, dude, where'd you come from? He goes, you know, I've been here this whole time. Just been walking, you know, a couple steps behind you. And he goes, hey, what are you guys talking about? And Cleopas, he goes, are you the only one in all of Jerusalem? Are you the only one who has no clue what is happening? That's the tone of voice. That's the idea. That's what's happening. Have you ever had that moment? Maybe you're a sibling and you have siblings and you're trying to explain something to them and you're like, are you serious? You do not get it yet. Do you really not get what I'm trying to say? That's this moment. You've got Cleopas. He's got Jesus right here. Jesus, Son of God, Savior of the world, King of kings, Lord of lords. And he turns to him and he says, are you kidding me? Are you the new guy? How can you be the only visitor today that hasn't heard about Jesus? That's the attitude. He's mad. He's frustrated. His emotions are coming out on the stranger, the guy he doesn't even know. Have you ever done that? Have you ever blown up on a stranger? Literally, like on your horn, in your car, you whip it, you know. Yeah, that's this guy, okay? We can all relate to Cleopas because I've been there. And I love Jesus. Jesus say, oh, yeah, that Jesus guy. No, Jesus says, what things? I love it. Because here's what that does. That question allows him to share his heart. So many of us, we keep our hearts so tight, so closed in, nobody knows them. And when you close your heart off and you don't share what's going on the inside, it festers and it gets nasty and disgusting. You become this toxic, nasty person. It is so important to be able to share what's on the inside. Jesus asks those questions that we might be able to open up. And Jesus says, he doesn't get mad. He doesn't say, dude, do you have any idea who you're talking to right now? I mean, I might have said that. Jesus says, what things? And then this allows him to open up and listen to the words as I read this, because some of these are so key. It shows you where they are in their life. It says the things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth. They had lost focus on him being God, the man from Nazareth. They said he was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people, but our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped that he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Do you see their loss of hope in who Jesus was supposed to be? They said he was a prophet. He was Almighty God, and he was supposed to be the Messiah. But he wasn't. Or so they thought. You see, they were able to share their heart. And I love how Jesus is willing to ask those dumb questions. But asking this question, it allows them to open up. And have you ever felt like God had let you down? Because that's how they felt. They felt like God had let them down. They felt like God had not held up to his end of the bargain. Jesus finds them in this moment of being disappointed in him. Have you ever felt like God has disappointed you? Have you ever told him? Because that's exactly where Jesus finds these men. And it's in this moment, in this journey, and Jesus could have said, "Oh, guys, are you all? Okay, yeah, Jesus died, Messiah. Hey, it's me. I'm here. Don't be mad anymore. It's okay. It's all okay now. I'm here." He could have done that. He could have cut their 7-mile journey in half, mile 3.5, mile 2, who knows, couple steps. My kids on the football team, we have this one step drill where they take a step and they catch a football. He could have just done one step and says, "Wait, guys, I'm Jesus. No more being mad. It's all okay." But he lets them share. He lets them share how they feel like he failed them. They had these big dreams for Jesus. They had dreamed that he would conquer the Romans. The other night, I was at this restaurant yesterday. I walked by this table of guys, and one of the guys turns to his buddy and says, "Hey, that guy looks just like Russell Crowe." And I get that. I get that a little bit. People think I look like Russell Crowe, and whether you do or you don't think it, I get that a lot. And so my boys go, "Who's Russell Crowe?" Which, whatever, so I go, "Well, he was in this movie called The Gladiator. It's one of the best movies of all time." My son, Judah, goes, "Can I watch it?" And I'm like, "Yeah, there's no, like, sex in it." So, whether you're like, "Oh, there's violence in it." I'm like, "Well, there's violence in the Bible," whatever. So I said, sure, Judah, you can watch it. And don't judge me. If you're judging me, I'll judge you back. And so my kids are asking me, "Who are the good guys?" Not really the Romans. They were sort of bad. So it was hard to explain because, like, well, they're, whatever. But the Romans, they're conquering the Romans. That was where I got sidetracked. Sorry. Rabbit trails. And so they thought that Jesus was coming to conquer the Romans. Jesus was coming to set up his reign as this mighty king that was going to lead the people of Israel, and they were going to get rid of the Roman Empire, and all of a sudden the people of Israel are going to be reigning again. They're going to be the mighty nation that God had always talked about. They're going to be every good thing that the Bible talks about the Messiah, every conquering king, every statement about this conquering nation of the people of Israel. That's all they thought about. That's what they thought was going to happen. But all of a sudden when he died, all their dreams of reigning with Jesus, all their dreams of being somebody who's important with Jesus, all their dreams of standing side by side by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that's leading the people of Israel, all their dreams of being important fell and crumbled and crashed before them. He could do so many things for others, but he could do nothing for himself. And so they're saying all of these frustrating things. They're blowing up on Jesus. They're throwing up all over him. Have you ever been in that moment where you're sharing your frustration and Jesus is standing in their face and they are so messed up, they're so mad? But Jesus let them share their heart. A while back, I was sitting with a pastor and a buddy of mine, Jesse. He set up the this meeting, because I'm part of a couple networks of trying to get pastors together to work together. That's my heart, that we're not, a church doesn't work one, trying to conquer, or not conquer, but trying to help people and help our neighborhoods and our communities to realize who Jesus is. So a big thing on my heart is that churches would work together. And so I'm in these different roundtables and these different groups that I go to and trying to bring this unity. And in one of them, I'm just like, this is such a waste of time. Actually, two of them that I go to are such a waste of time. One is like amazing. And so I was sharing it with Jesse, and he goes, Jeremiah, I want you to meet with this guy and share with him your heart. And so I'm saying, you know, all this, I go, there's these meetings and we sit at, and I'm just, I go, this one that we go, that I go to, and I go, it's a big waste of time. I go, it's a bunch of old guys, and I'm sorry, but it was just a bunch of old guys. I'm the only young guy there. They're just coming for the free lunch, and then they just sit and they talk about things that don't even matter anymore. And I'm saying all these things, and I'm frustrated, and I'm just like, I'm not being mean, but I'm being very real. I'm sharing my heart, and I'm like, and I don't get what's the point. And then at the end of it, some other old guy stands in front and does some sales pitch for something he's wanting to do, some golf tournament to raise money for some other church thing. And I'm like, we have too many lost people to be in some dumb golf tournament that has no eternal purpose. And I'm frustrated. I'm sharing with this guy. He goes, okay, so what else? What could we do better? So I'm sharing these things. And then at the end, after I say all of this stuff, just like the people of it, just like these two guys, after I say everything, he goes, I oversee the lunch. Have you ever done that? If you haven't, good for you. Don't do that, because you'll be so embarrassed. I was so embarrassed. I felt so stupid. You see, that is exactly what God wants us to do. He wants us to have a free heart to share with him every bit of our frustrations. He doesn't want to keep that. He doesn't want us to keep anything back. And so these two guys, and I think that's one of the reasons why Jesus hid himself, so they didn't know. I think it was that they might be able to share their heart. And Jesus just so patiently listened to them. He listened to their heart, and so they had that moment where they turned, they sort of stopped. Jesus said, what things? They turn to Jesus, and they stop in this mid-walk. They stop and they say, okay, have you not heard about the guy who died? Everybody thought he was going to be a king. He's not king. He's dead. He's dead, dead, in the ground, and we don't understand the point of why he even lived. It was a waste of our last 3 years of our life and whatever. And so they stopped, they looked at Jesus, and then it says, I'll bet at verse 22, they start walking again. It says, then some women from our group of followers were at his tomb early in the morning, and they came back with an amazing report, but they missed out the report. These two guys are so focused that Jesus died, that they even say it was an amazing report that Jesus rose again, but they ignored that. It says, they said that his body was missing and that they had seen an angel who said that Jesus is alive. So they're saying this to Jesus. They're saying this report came to them, yet they ignore the report. It says, and some of our men, they ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women said. Have you ever been so discouraged that you don't even see the reality in front of you? Have you ever been so discouraged that you can't even see the good that's happening? It's so easy to do. It's so easy to miss the good when we allow the bad to cloud us. And that's exactly where Jesus was with these men. They heard the reports. They knew what Jesus said. It says they were followers of Jesus. Countless times Jesus said, guys, I'm going to die, and on the third day, I'm going to rise again. Over and over again. But how many times have you missed the point? How many times have you missed the obvious? I have. It's easy to just walk the path of discouragement when life doesn't go your way. And we can go right back to what's comfortable. And then I love what Jesus does here. It says then, verse 25, then Jesus said to them, you foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all the prophets wrote in scriptures. Now, we read this and we're like, that's not nice. Jesus isn't looking down and saying, you fool. It's not what he's doing. Here's what I picture. You know those moments, I don't know, maybe you were smart in school. That wasn't me. I struggled in school. So you know those moments where your teacher, they're trying to help you understand something. And they get to that point where they realize you're not getting it. So what do they do next? Do they look down? Are you a fool? Are you stupid? Why don't you get it? They don't do that. A good teacher, what they do is they get down, and all of a sudden they start painting it in a picture that you will understand. That's, now they're saying, okay, let me help you understand. That's the idea. where they do, okay? You understand that? For those of you who have never had that moment in school, that's what teachers do. When you don't, I've had plenty of those moments where I'm just like, half of the times because I just wasn't paying attention, which I so relate to these disciples. But that's what Jesus does. He says, okay, guys, let me paint it in a way that you'll get it. He says, wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer? Guys, remember, you know this. Now, in those days, these guys knew the Old Testament. They knew it. They knew what the prophet said. They knew what the psalm said. They knew what Moses wrote. Those are things that you memorized as a kid. He goes, remember, wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory, before becoming king? Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of the journey. And Jesus acted as if he was going to keep going, but they begged him, saying, stay the night with us, since it's getting late. So he went home with them. Verse 30, and as they sat down to eat, he took bread and he blessed it, and then he broke it and gave it to them. And suddenly their eyes were open and they recognized him. And at that moment he disappeared. And they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he was talking with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? You see, they had known the scriptures. But it's so easy to pick the things that we want and get rid of the things that we don't. You see, they picked the things that they wanted, the things about the Messiah being king, the Messiah needing people to reign with him, the Messiah needing his entourage to make sure that, you know, everything was going to go as planned. They liked that part. They're like, okay, we can be part of the entourage. But they didn't want to be a part of the king dying. And all of a sudden, his men being persecuted and his men having a hard time and actually have to carry a burden, they didn't want that part. It's easy for us to sort of read and know, okay, God, I'll do these things with my life that you say in the word, but I don't want to do these things. That's too hard. I don't want to live that way. That's too difficult. I still want to do this. We can pick and choose, and that's sort of what they did. And Jesus says, you've missed the point. You've missed the point. And I don't know what Jesus quoted to them. In the Bible, there's over 50 different prophecies about how Jesus would die. And I don't know which one of those Jesus picked to share, but I'm going to share with you a few of them that he might have read. He might have said, hey, you know, in the first book that Moses wrote, it writes, as after Adam and Eve sinned, God says, and I will cause, verse 15 of Genesis 3, I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. He's speaking to the serpent and he's saying to the serpent, yes, you will hurt the Messiah, but he will kill you. He will destroy you. And that's speaking of the Messiah having to come and the Messiah having to suffer for a moment. And that all of a sudden, I wonder if things start to click. Like, wait a minute, it does say that. And I wonder if maybe just took him to Psalm 22. Psalm 22, verse 14 says this, 14 through 18 says, my life is poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax melting within me. If you read the Gospel of Matthew, it talks about how a person would be on a cross. And as a person was on a cross in those times in Rome, their body, their joints would, their limbs would actually go out of joint because their bodies would sag from the weight of themselves and on the cross and on those nails. And it says that when they stab, in Matthew, it says that when they stabbed Jesus in his side, that blood and water flowed separately, which speaks so clearly of what we're reading here in verse 14. It says, my strength was dried up like sun-caked clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. There's a passage in Matthew where it says, Jesus says that, it says, my mouth is dry. It says, you laid me in dust and left me for dead. My enemies surround me like a pack of dogs. An evil gang closes in on me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. And I wonder at this moment, because you got to realize when David wrote this hundreds of years before crucifixion was even invented by the Romans. Hundreds of years before it was even thought of. Somebody taking nails and piercing your wrists, piercing your feet. Wasn't even thought of. Well, the closest thing to it was what the Assyrians would do, and they would take a sharp spear and shove it That's not your hands and feet. You don't mix up your with your hands and feet. This did not happen to King David. David never once was pierced in his hands, never once was pierced in his feet. So all of a sudden, as Jesus is sharing these things, he says, I count all my bones, my enemies stare at me. He says, they divide my garments among themselves and throw dice. That happened at the foot of Jesus' cross, where Romans took the cloak, the robe that Jesus wore, and they actually gambled for it. And I wonder at these moments, as Jesus is quoting these things, I wonder if these two men go, wait a minute, we saw that happen. We saw them gambling for his cloak. We saw him hanging there on the cross. He got pierced. Wait a minute, that's what's happened to the Messiah. And I wonder if he all of a sudden started reading Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his power? Remember, Isaiah was written hundreds of years before Jesus was born. Hundreds of years. We have accounts. We have these written. You can go to Israel and you can see the book of Isaiah. You can see these writings. I've been there. I have seen scrolls written hundreds of years before Jesus was born. They found them in caves. I've seen them. And Jesus, it is written hundreds of years, it says, and he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs to him and looked the other way. He was despised and he did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sin. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. And all of a sudden, they're realizing, and I'll bet you anything, things are starting to click, because it says that was it not burning within us? Have you ever had that moment where things start to click, where the lights start to turn on, and you start to get it? That's what's happening to these men. It's just sharing. Things are starting to click. It's not all the way yet. It's not all the way there yet. They don't got it yet, but it's starting to click for them. They're realizing, wait, he's pierced for our transgressions, for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. I'm wondering if they're remembering that moment where he's walking with the beam, the cross on his back, and all of a sudden it fell on him. And they made somebody else carry it. And I wonder if they remembered, wait a minute, he was crushed for us. He was beaten. I wonder if they were remembering how Jesus was beaten by the Romans, how he was whipped, because this didn't happen to Isaiah. It says that all of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. And that's exactly what these two men had done. They have left the path that God had for them to follow their own. How many of us have done that? We've left the path that God had for a path that's easier. There's so much there in Isaiah. I encourage you to read Isaiah 53. As Jesus shares these things, all of a sudden things start to click and they realize, hey, wait a minute, this might be Jesus. Have you ever missed the obvious? Have you ever been standing there in front of the fridge and you say, hey, where's the milk? And your wife yells down, it's right in front of you. And you're like, no, it's not. She comes downstairs and she grabs the milk. She goes, it's right here. You're like, oh, you meant literally like right in front of me. That's this moment. It was right in front of them and they didn't see it. But Jesus was so patient. He was so loving, taking them through, walking them on this journey. He didn't get mad. He didn't get frustrated. But he walked. And as they come to the end of the journey, they were not done yet. They felt like, okay, we still need more time, and they invited him to stay. We see in them a desire to hear more. It was when they finally stopped to take a moment to really look and listen that they finally saw. When was the last time we stopped and gave God a minute of our time? When was the last time we just stopped and said, okay, God, what is it that you want? Because it was in that moment when they finally stopped, they listened, that they saw it was Jesus. It was in that moment when they stopped. They stopped in their journey. They stopped and said, hey, why don't you sit? It was in that moment when he broke bread and he handed it to them. All of a sudden, things clicked and they realized it was Jesus. And it was in that moment he disappeared. disappears, which that's just not cool. Why does he disappear? I don't know. That's just Jesus. He can do those kind of things. But we can be so busy on our journey that we forget to stop and listen to see what God is doing and what God wants to do. We can be so busy in life. We can be so busy with our struggles. We can be so busy with our discouragements and our frustrations and our distraction and all these things. We can be so busy that we miss Jesus in front of us. But what happens when they realize it's Jesus? When they realize it's him, they put their running shoes on. They book it 7 miles. I don't know if you've ever ran 7 miles before. I've ran 7 miles. It takes me about 9 minutes a mile. It's about, I don't know, 9 times 7, whatever that is. Your math, I'm not. And I remember running that. So these guys run it. They walked it the first time. They walked it hopeless. They walked it without joy. But they ran back to their friends full of hope, full of joy. They can't wait. When was the last time we ran full of excitement for Jesus? You see, they walked because they were discouraged. They walked because they thought Jesus had died. They walked because they had no hope, because they were so focused on themselves. They're so focused on what happened. They lost track of who Jesus was. But when they finally realized that Jesus was the dying Savior, that Jesus was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that he had to die first to save them of their sins, when things finally clicked for them, when they had their eyes off themselves and on him, they ran. They ran because they were so full of excitement. They ran because they realized that Jesus loved them. They ran because they realized Jesus died for them. They ran because they realized the Jesus they believed in was not dead in a tomb, but was alive and real and wanted to give life for the world. That's when they ran. Why aren't we running? Why are we running to our neighbors? Why are we running to the friends? Why are we running to the lost? Why are we so stuck in our discouragement when we have nothing to be discouraged about, when we know that we have a Savior who loves us, who's willing to walk these journeys with us, who's willing to walk these trials with us, who's willing to listen to our frustration? But when we've shared it, we've got to run like these guys. Then I love it when they run back, they get back to their buddies. And they say, you guys, you'll never know what just happened. They go, what? They go, okay, we're on a journey, and I'm assuming the guy who tells the story quickly told it, because you know those people who tell long stories? So he goes, okay, so we're on this journey, we're walking back home because we had given up, we thought Jesus was dead, and we didn't believe you guys were crazy, and all of a sudden this guy walks with us, and we walked to Emmaus, and it was Jesus, and he told us everything. He opened our eyes, and all of a sudden, it says in verse 36, it says, and just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself appeared suddenly, and I wonder if, like, Jesus, don't do that. You can't just pop up into rooms whenever you want. That freaks us out. It's too scary. I don't know. But since he was standing there in their midst, and what does he say? He says, peace be with you. It's the same thing that he wants to say to you. This journey that you're on, Jesus says, peace be with you.
Thank you for joining us today. For up-to-date series information, find us on social media at CityViewPHX or go to CityViewPHX.com.